It is a story of a city seeking new horizons in a resolute contest with great challenge.
This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson.
That city is Detroit.
The Detroit Institute of Arts has an amazing collection and a terrific building, but something wasn't quite right. The people who run the museum wanted visitors to feel more connected to what they were seeing behind all the glass cases. And so they decided to renovate and rethink how people experience art museums. A year ago, the Detroit Institute of Arts reopened its doors, and the changes were pretty radical. We sent Zach Rosen to see how the museum had remade itself for the 21st century, but that actually meant going back to the 18th.
I am wearing a puffy shirt and sitting at a lavishly set table. Dinner is just starting to be served, but I can already tell this is going to be the most extravagant meal of my life. First comes pureed seafood, then crawfish bisque, stuffed turkey, and finally, on an elegant silver platter, a suckling pig. Today I'm an 18th century European aristocrat, and for the moment, the director of the DIA, Graham Beale, is too.
Two candlesticks have been added and the candles lit, and now they're bringing in the meissen.
Okay, we're not actually at a banquet eating suckling pig, and I'm not actually wearing a puffy shirt. We're in the middle of a museum gallery, sitting at a table that doubles as a projection screen, and on the table are images of a virtual banquet, ornate silver serving trays, beautiful hand-painted plates, and the food to go with them. Every once in a while, a lacy-sleeved arm appears to serve us more wine. I feel like I'm inside that movie, Amadeus.
Well, here we see the footman bringing in what is called an épergne, a sort of very elaborate Lazy Susan, and just here to the left is that épergne in a case, so that you can actually see that that strange-looking object there was used as a centerpiece.
That's when I look up and realize we're surrounded by glass cases of those same 18th-century objects, the real ones.
What we've done is to recontextualize these objects, take them away from being a trophy on the wall or being a moment in the story of art. And we all know what it's like to celebrate Thanksgiving or Shabbat. So people can relate in a way that they would not have related to the story before that we told that was the story of Baroque, Rococo, neoclassicism.
The DIA spent 6 years renovating the building, and they saw it as an opportunity to kind of renovate their audience as well.
If you watch people in an art museum, there's a kind of glide that they do. They just sort of keep moving.
So they called Pentagram, a New York-based graphic design firm. Pentagram helps museums attract visitors with what they call media-based interactives, like the virtual dinner table.
This strategy of using media to focus on engaging the visitor hasn't really been embraced for art museums, probably because, you know, in an art museum, the art is sacred and it's assumed to be engaging already.
That's Lisa Straussfield. She led a team to create 10 interactive devices throughout the museum.
A lot of sort of technology-based work in museums takes people out of the experience of the gallery into a really rich on-screen experience of the art. We didn't want to do that.
Instead, they wanted to help the visitor get inside the world of the object.
Central to this strategy was this model that we borrowed from a researcher at Microsoft. It's called the Engagement, Context, and Reference Model. And the first level is engagement. This is the moment where a visitor has some visceral response to a work of art.
Back in the gallery, the suckling pig is served to a visitor named Lauren.
You get a little excited. You know, everybody's clapping. It makes you want to clap, too.
At this point, the visitor is already engaged and they're receptive to information about the context or the identity of the work of art.
Just looking at the little, the different pieces that they used, I mean, they went to such lengths to make it so grand and, you know, very nice. And I think about the fact that we bought our eating ware at Target.
And after the visitor understands the context, it's easier for them to get interested in the actual artifacts lining the walls of the gallery. The virtual banquet helps them get there. But art historian Christina Hill thinks these new gadgets get in the way of why we go to museums in the first place, to use our imagination.
If you can manipulate a computer, can't you also try manipulating the parts of your brain that are receptive to sensory pleasures?
When she heard about the DIA's plan to install the interactive devices, she wrote a scathing critique in Detroit's Alternative Weekly.
Maybe Beale considers my belief that a painting is already inherently interactive, hopelessly idealistic. But consider this. You look at a painting, it speaks to you. You look at it more intensely, it speaks volumes. Must there also be bells, whistles, touch screens?
Then we go to the museum and sit down at the banquet table.
I'm happily surprised.
She says she wouldn't have tolerated something like this to accompany a painting. But for decorative arts, something functional, it's okay.
I think that it's completely neutral. I mean, this is the food. We're having roast suckling pig. We're having turkey breast.
But here's her beef with the pig and turkey.
There's the virtual, and then there's the real, which has its aura. Walter Benjamin, a German, was writing about art in the age of mechanical reproduction, when posters of the Mona Lisa were freely available in the early 19th century. And he was wondering, well, what's going to happen to the original work of art?
And most of the DIA's exhibits are still just the original works of art. But the renovation with the new media stuff has made a big difference in attendance. A year after reopening, it's still up by 60%.
But most of all, I'm getting letters, emails, being stopped in the galleries as I walk through by people saying things like, I've been coming here since I was 10 years old and I'm seeing things in the art that I never saw before.
So now, if you'll excuse me, it's time for dessert. For Studio 360, I'm Zach Rosen.